Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years. Welcome back, everybody. This is the 35th episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. Last fall, I was part of a global online interview series hosted by Jean Ireton called Breakthrough to Create. And I talked about how to raise creative teens, and I thought today that I would share with you that interview.
Hi, everybody. Jean here, and welcome back to Breakthrough to Creativity. I'm interviewing experts from around the world about how to get to a place where inspiration flows naturally through you and how to see your creative pursuits as a sustainable career choice. Today's guest is Colleen O'Grady. Colleen is a licensed marriage and family therapist and speaker. She helps moms reduce conflict, reconnect with their teenage daughters, and reclaim their lives. And Colleen has a thriving practice in Houston, Texas. So Colleen, thank you for joining me today. You're very welcome. How are you?
I'm so glad to be here.
So in this show about creativity, I was really attracted to your work on dialing down the drama. And as an actor myself, I know we always strive to keep all the drama on the stage at all times.
Yes.
And nowhere else. So I'd just love to hear a little bit more about you and how you got started in this field. And how did you get started?
Okay. Well, I've always loved teenagers. And for 10 years, I did a lot of youth ministry. And I hung out with kids in all different kind of settings, from taking them to Colorado in the mountains and hiking and on school campuses. And what I realized is that parents have a big impact on the kids, either positive or negative. So that made me want to pursue a master's degree in family therapy, and because I wanted to really help the teens. And then when my daughter turned 12, I realized, oh, this is why it's so easy to lose it with your teenage daughter. And I didn't want to lose it with my own daughter. So I thought, okay, what's going on? I mean, I'm a knowledgeable therapist, so why am I missing it? And so that led to me creating programs like Power Your Parenting and writing my book, Dial Down the Trauma. And now my daughter's 22, and we do have a great relationship.
That's cool. That's fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit more about how mothers can model creativity for their children and facilitate creativity for their children?
Yes. Well, even though my mom was an extreme perfectionist, she had a dad who was an artist. He had a syndicated cartoon, and my father's mother was an artist. So when I started showing some, you know, interest in drawing, I mean, I could ask Mom, buy me these toys? No, but she would always get me art supplies. And she made it easy for me. Like, there's art supplies on the table. She would invest in art lessons. And the thing, I think with art, she would kind of look over my shoulder, and then she just like look at me with pride. She never bugged me like, you need to draw. Or it was just like, I knew that I would find my mom's pleasure when I drew. And the same like with my own daughter is, art was all over the place in our house. I mean, every time she'd go to sleep, I would play guitar and write songs and literal paintings. But she found kind of her own creative expression of dance. And so she saw the same delight on my face. I loved it. It was something that I wasn't really that great at, but I invested in her dance lessons and sending her to dance intensives. And she knew that I loved it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yes, because you're actually a visual artist as well. I remember we were talking about that. I didn't mention that in your bio actually. Do you think that prioritizing this in your life really influenced your daughter and really helped her to prioritize her own creative pursuits?
Yes, absolutely. It was just like, it's what you do. You know, it was like, I didn't have my TV on very much. She saw that instead of turning the TV on, I would go create something. So that was kind of her normal. I think most parents want their kids to kind of develop their talents and their creativity, but I see some major mistakes. And one is that if creativity is going to grow in our children, they have to own it. It can't be the parent's idea. So you have to kind of notice what your child seems to really delight in. You know, if they can draw forever, if they tend to memorize, you know, scripts of movies, or if they, you know, tend to gravitate to dancing across the living room. And I think, of course, you can expose them through all different kind of camps to multiple art forms and creative outlets. But one, here's what I see, is that in terms of parenting, is that it has to be your kid's goal to really develop their creativity and what specific outlet that's going to be. And we can't put our goals on them. But what we can do is we can see if they have like realistic expectations. Like if they're like, I'm just going to be a great actor and never memorize my lines. Or I'm just not going to practice and I'm just going to kind of show up and hopefully know my choreography. You know, that's like setting them up for failure. So part of it, if they're what you can help them with, and this is some brain science stuff. So the brain science is that kids and teens, they don't think about like long-term perspective or cause and effect. They're just like, you know, they see movies where people are instantly just amazing, you know, dancers and singers. So what you do is like, if your goal is to really develop, you know, music, art, acting, dance, whatever that is, writing, then helping them lay out the steps to get there. And you can kind of help facilitate. Like, okay, if you have a performance in 2 weeks, how long do you think it would take to be really ready for that? That you would memorize, you know, the piano, you would know your lines, and helping them kind of come up with that themselves. And then when you and them can kind of come up with those steps, then as a parent, you can like remind them, you know, your goal was to really, you know, knock it out of the park in that, you know, performance. And you had said that you would practice and do these things each day. And I'm just going to remind you that that's what you had wanted to do. So we're holding them to their goals and their steps. So as parents, we can help them think through what are the practical steps to get to their goals. And a lot of psychologists will call this practical hope. It's not just this whimsical hope. It's like, if you do these things, then, you know, you're going to get there.
Yeah, very, very wise words, powerful words. So one thing I'm really fascinated by with, you know, the concept of children and creativity is about discipline. And I mean, because I'm aware that too much discipline will absolutely ruin creativity in kids, and children are really the most creative, you know, demographic of our society. When you talk about encouraging kids to you know, pursue their creative dreams, what kind of impact do you think it has if you're forcing a child to practice music, you know, like that element of force and kind of like pushing them towards it too forcefully? How do you think that that affects them?
Right. Yes. So most of the fight, most of the drama really in families is around your fear of them not being successful on talking to parents and trying to motivate them to do something. So a lot of times how we're trying to motivate our tactics as parents is really creating a problem. Because kids are sensitive, and a lot of times when we're frustrated as parents, we can use kind of shaming statements or pressure-y statements. Any kind of shame or pressure is going to kill creativity. So I think that's why I kind of go back to the whole thing of the goals and the practical steps. The practical steps is a reframe for discipline. You know, so it's like, you know, so you're using a metaphor, like if you're going to climb a mountain, you're going to have to do it a step at a time. That's what discipline is. Because discipline has a bad, you know, brings up bad feelings for people. But if you kind of let them know that this is actually a way to get to where you want to go, and yeah, maybe sometimes it's not fun, but what's really not fun, and this is where we're kind of connecting their goal and their kind of happy place to, like we're saying, to get to that goal and happy place and not get to that place where you're really embarrassed, is you have to do these things. Now, my daughter went to a high school for performing and visual art. And I think what happens that kills kind of creativity is, I mean, there is a lot of pressure, and there is a lot of pressure in the arts, and there is a lot of comparing, and there is a lot of like, well, I can't sing like her, I can't act like her, I can't paint like her. And so kids are like, why even try? You know, like if I can't sing like this person, which I've had people say in my office, then forget it. So what I think this is so, so, so important, and I know you'll agree with me, is what they have lost is they have disconnected from their love of the art, their own love. Like the reward is doing something that you love, and creativity, when you, like, I have a girl that she's precious and she loves to draw. She loves it. She does not like to study, but she loves to draw. So she just can get lost in it. There's such a, it brings her so much. And so if parents are too hard on their kids, if the teachers are too hard on the kids, then you can disconnect from that love. So what you can do as parents or people is you go back to your first love, the love of playing guitar, the love of doing your craft. Or okay, so I was a dorm mom for a dance intensive. And here's the difference. So I would see the really shaming dance instructors and no one wanted to go there. But then I would see the ones that everybody wanted to be in that certain that class. And they worked even harder than the other classes. But the difference was, is they saw what was the dance instructor, she expected a lot out of them, but she was very positive. And these kids noticed that they could do that triple thing in the air. I forgot the name of it. But, you know, they could do the big high jump across. You know, they were doing things that they dreamed of doing, and they were mastering it. So the thing in creativity that's such a big dopamine payoff is when you, like, you know, you sing in a way you've never sung. You communicate emotion like you've never done before. You mastered something in your art. You were able to do something in dance. That's your first love. That's like, so really what you want to do is you want to redirect them from comparing themselves to everybody else, which leads you to shame, to comparing, like you're only in competition with yourself. And that you want to teach them in this kind of instant culture where everything looks like if we're not instantly good, then we must not have talent. So you say, no, look, like you've been given the wrong message. If you do these steps, it's going to take time, but the payoff is you're going to see yourself master things that you never thought you could. And then you point out to them, because we all forget, remember where you started and remember where you are today. So I think it's, you know, it's the love of, like, I could play guitar forever because I just love it, you know? And I think people who are really in love with their creativity, that carries them through many, many rough patches.
Absolutely, yeah. That's so interesting. Thank you for that. So I did love your comments as well about drama and creativity and kind of just you know, avoiding drama with, you know, with people, especially in the arts, because it's such a people business as well. I mean, it can happen in any relationship, not just with children, you know, with our peers. Even like, what's your take on that, on dialing down the drama?
Yes. Well, you're right. I have focused a lot of drama in the family, but drama can definitely be in any environment that we are in. Yes. So if you think about it, well, you know, with teens and tweens, their brains are developing, you know, until the age of 25 and on and on. And so they're very kind of vulnerable to what I say going offline from the higher brain, which is everything creative and rational, to more of the reactive part of the lower brain. But if you think of it, like creatives, what makes a lot of us really creative is that sensitive part of us and the very perceptive part of us. And that's a huge gift. And if you think of art, it's a vulnerable thing. We are putting ourselves out there. And so then if someone critiques that or doesn't give us space to use our gifts, it's what a big honking trigger. I was going to say another word, but it's a big trigger for us. And when we get triggered, another way to say it is we take it personal. And we take it personal, it can, a lot of times we're reacting out of the lower brain because that's where shame, we feel fear, we feel anger, we feel panic, we feel hopeless, and that's all the lower brain. And when we get really emotionally flooded, we are literally offline from the creative part of our brain and the rational part of the brain, and all we have is fight, flight, freeze. We have the stress response, and so we don't have a full deck of cards. We don't have the whole perspective. So one of the things that you can do as the artist and as a parent and really any of us is when we've been triggered, is when we're emotionally flooded, that is the absolute worst time to try to fix anything, because things that are going to fly out of our mouth is really we're processing stuff and everybody's upset, so that's not going to go anywhere good. So what you want to do is first get calm. And to get calm means to do like extreme self-care. Remove yourself from that situation. Do something that fills you back up. If that's, you know, taking a long walk, playing music, you know, by yourself, you know, listening to your favorite music, whatever that is, going to yoga. And once you get calm, then it's easier to get clear. And your clarity is super important. So clarity might mean that you talk to a friend, you look up something online. And when you get clear, clarity has multi-levels. So it's clarity for parenting is like, okay, what just happened? Is this really important? What's really going on with my daughter? What's going on with me? What's going on with my partner? And in an artistic situation, what's going on with the director and the producer and the other actors or whoever that is. And then it's coming back to naming your emotions and your feelings. And then here's what's really important is naming what do you want to do about it? Because when you can get back into the strategic part of your brain and say, okay, that didn't feel good, but it's still worth it for me to go back to that practice. Maybe I need to have a conversation with someone. Maybe I need to set a boundary. What are my limits? And when you come back and you are completely clear, you are in a much more powerful position. And you're also coming from a place, because when you're calm, you automatically go back online to perspective, to the big picture, to creativity, to problem solving, and you have to your spiritual side. And then you have a much better chance of really resolving whatever that is that kind of threw you into drama.
Yeah, and I think that's really helpful. They're really, you know, practical steps that, you know, our audience can actually implement, you know, when that happens. And I think that's so important just because, you know, it's all, community is so important, you know, in the arts and, you know, when working with, you know, raising creative children as well, it's so important to be able to connect with them, you know, while they're trying to build this career for themselves and, you know, keep an authentic relationship with them as well. So I think all of that will help parents to do that. It's really, really nice. So we're actually almost out of time, believe it or not. But I was just wondering, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I'm just a big believer in what a gift creativity is. I think it's not just for a select few. I think it's good for everyone's soul. So I think it's good for everyone to try something new, mm-hmm. maybe a different creative art form or, you know, I'm specifically, you know, talking to parents, because sometimes you think of as parents, you're facilitating, you know, your child's talent, but it's good for you. And like I was talking earlier is parents is we are a model for our children. A lot of times what we say isn't as important as how we live our life. In fact, that's what research shows. How we live our life has a much bigger impact than what we say. So when your child sees you developing yourself and putting yourself out there and taking risks and expressing yourself, that has a profound impact on your own child. That gives your child permission to do the same. You as a parent expressing your creativity is not selfish. Because I've heard that, like, how can I pursue something for me? You know, I need to just do stuff for my kids. No, it's the exact opposite. That is showing your daughter that it's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay to get back and just keep working at it every day.
That's fabulous. I love that. Because, yeah, I mean, so many of friends who have kids say, you know, motherhood is all about guilt. So I'm talking, we have to get rid of that idea. I'd love for you to tell our listeners just a little bit about the free gift that you've extended to our audience today.
Yes. You can go to my website at ColleenO'Grady.com, and that's Colleen O'Grady, OGRADY.com. And I have the Dial Down the Drama triple pack. So there's three things in the triple pack, obviously. So you get a free chapter from my award-winning book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, A Guide for Mothers Everywhere. You get another free ebook, and you get a free subscription to my articles that is encouraging every week, especially for parents.
That's fabulous, Colleen. Thank you so much. And where can people find you?
They can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Colleen O'Grady, Dial Down the Drama on Facebook. And they can find me at Colleen.O'Grady on Instagram. Just my website has tons. My TEDx talk is on there, my blog, podcast. So I would go to there. Go to ColleenO'Grady.com. Lots of free resources.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Colleen. It was an absolute pleasure.
Yes, I really enjoyed it too. Thank you.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.